Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a classic old-school drum and bass re-space in Ableton Live 12, then balance it with a crunchy sampler texture so the sound hits harder, feels wider, and has that dirty, alive character that really works in jungle and rollers. The big idea here is simple. The re-space gives you the movement, weight, and musical body, while the sampler layer brings the dust, bite, and personality. If you get the balance right, the result feels powerful and detailed without turning into a muddy mess. Let's start with the re-space core. Create a MIDI track and load Wavedable, or use analog if you want a more classic flavor. For Wavedable, set oscillator 1 to a saw wave, then set oscillator 2 to another saw-style wave. Detune oscillator 2 slightly, just enough to create that beating, unstable motion. You do not want a giant super saw here. This is an old-school re-space. So keep it focused and lean. A good starting point is a tiny bit of detune, maybe around +7 to +14 cents, with only a few voices if you use unison. Too much stereo width will start to weaken the low end. We want the patch to sound rich, but still controlled. Now shape the sound with the filter and amp envelope. Use a low-pass filter and keep the cutoff somewhere in a musical range, depending on the note register you're using. If the bass is sitting lower, you may need to open the filter a bit more. If it's higher, you can close it down slightly for a darker tone. Set the amp envelope with a fast attack, a moderate decay, and enough sustain to keep the notes steady. Release should be short to medium, so the bass doesn't smear between notes. The re-space needs motion, or it just becomes a static saw wall, so add some slow movement to the filter. In Wavedable, an LFO on the cutoff works really well. Keep the rate slow and smooth. You want a subtle swirl, not an obvious wobble. Think of it as the sound breathing a little bit. You can also add auto filter after the synth to extend that movement into the arrangement. Set it to a low pass mode, give it a little drive if needed, and automate the cutoff slightly across phrases. Even tiny changes can make the bass feel much more alive. Now let's talk about the low end. This is where live bass sounds fall apart, especially in DNB. As utility and EQ after the synth. If this re-space is going to live above a separate sublayer, high pass it somewhere around 90 to 140 HE. That keeps the low end clean and leaves room for the sub to do its job. If the re-space is carrying more of the bass by itself, be more careful. You can still trim the bottom a bit, but don't thin it out so much that it loses power. Also check the width. If the patch feels too wide or unstable, narrow it slightly with utility. In drum and bass, mono compatibility matters a lot. A bass sound might feel huge in stereo, but if it collapses badly in mono, it will not translate well on a club system. Now for the fun part. The crunchy sampler texture. Predate a second MIDI track and load simpler. Drag in a sample with attitude. This could be the chopped vocal bit, an old break fragment, a distorted stab tail, a bit of machine noise, a metal hit, or even a short jungle texture. The important thing is that it has useful mids and some grit. We are not looking for sub weight here. We are looking for bite. Set simpler to classic if you want a straightforward one-shot feel, or slice if you want rhythmic fragments. Trim the sample so it starts on the most aggressive part. Shorten it if needed, and use fades if the edges click too hard. The sampler layer should be short, punchy, and ideally living in the mid-range, somewhere around 500 HC to 4K HC, where it can add presence without fighting the re-space. Now process that sampler layer to make it properly nasty. Add saturator first. Push the drive a little, maybe a few dB, and turn on soft clip. That gives you a controlled crunch instead of a harsh digital spike. If you want an even dirtier edge, try Redux for some bit reduction or downsampling. That old hardware style aliasing can sound really effective in DNB. If you want a more modern aggressive tone, Roar is great too. Just be careful not to destroy the transient or turn everything into static. Drum bass can also work well on the texture layer. Use some drive and crunch, but keep boom low or off so you don't create extra low-end clutter. After distortion, use EQ 8 to shape the sampler so it complements the re-space. High pass it fairly aggressively, often somewhere around 150 to 300 HC, depending on the sample. This is a really important move. The sampler is here for texture, not for bass weight. If needed, tame harshness in the upper mids, or add a small presence boost if it needs more edge. The goal is for it to feel like dust and teeth sitting on top of the re-space, not another bass fighting for space. Now let's combine the two layers. Group both tracks together so you can treat them as one bass instrument. Inside that group, add a glue compressor for subtle glue, not heavy pumping. You just want the layers to feel like one thing. A little saturator after that can add overall density, and an AQ8 can handle any small corrective cuts. Utility at the end is useful for checking mono and keeping the width under control. This is the main balancing act of the lesson. Start with a res on its own. Get that sounding full and solid first. Then bring in the sampler layer quietly. Raise it until you just start to notice the grit and movement, then pull it back slightly. That's usually the sweet spot. You want to feel the sampler more than you hear it as a separate sound, unless it's meant to be a featured effect. A great teacher tip here is to check the blend at low volume. If the bass still feels clear when your monitors are down low, that's a strong sign the balance is working. If the sampler vanishes completely, it may be too quiet. If it jumps out and steals the show, it's probably too loud or too bright. Also keep the jobs separate in your mind. The res handles pitch and sustain. The sampler handles attitude and transient texture. If both layers try to do the same thing, the sound gets cloudy fast. Separation is the secret. Next, make sure the bass leaves space for the drums. Add sidechain compression on the bass group, triggered by the kick. Keep the attack fairly fast and the release musical, so the groove breathes without losing energy. In DNB, the sidechain does not have to be extreme. It just needs to let the kick punch through cleanly. Now think about arrangement. This sound works best when the sampler texture behaves like a performance, not just a constant layer left on all the time. Bring it in during the last couple of bars of a phrase. Open the filter a little before the drop. Make it louder in fills or call and response sections. Then pull it back for impact. Even a tiny automation move, like increasing the saturation in one section or opening the filter slightly, can make the bass feel much more dramatic. A useful way to think about the arrangement is this: cleaner at the start, denser in the middle, nastier at the peak, then simplified again for contrast. That keeps the energy moving and prevents ear fatigue. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, do not make the sampler too loud. That is the fastest way to flatten the res and make the bass sound cheap. Second, do not leave too much low end in the sampler. Third, avoid making both layers too wide. Wide low frequencies can weaken the whole drop. Fourth, do not over distort both layers equally. Usually it works better if one layer is dirtier and the other stays more stable. And finally, always check the sound in mono and in the context of the drums. If you want to level up from here, try separating the bass into three roles in your next project: a clean sub, a res mid layer, and a texture layer. That makes balancing much easier. You can also resample the finished bass, chop it into phrases, and reprocess it for variation. That's a very classic DNB workflow, and it can lead to really interesting edits. Here's a quick practice challenge. Program a two-bar rolling bass phrase in F minor or G minor. Build a res using only stock synth devices. Add a sampler layer from a non-bass source like a vocal fragment, break hit, or machine noise. High-pass the sampler, distort each layer differently, group them, and automate one parameter. Then loop it with drums and ask yourself, does the bass still hit hard? Can you hear the note movement? And does the sampler add attitude without mod? If you can answer yes, you're on the right track. So to recap, build a simple detuned res, give it slow motion, create a separate crunchy sampler layer, cut the low end from the texture, distort carefully, group both layers, and balance them so the res stays musical while the sampler adds grit and identity. That's how you get that deep, crunchy, rolling DNB bass energy. Nice work! In the next pass, try making one version that's cleaner and deeper, and another that's nastier and more forward. That contrast will teach your ears a lot, and it's exactly the kind of thinking that leads to better bass design.